Welcome back to the Inside Pass, News 24's dedicated Rugby World Cup podcast. My name is Lloyd Bernard. Thank you for joining us once again. And joining me in studio today is absolutely nobody. Herman Mostert, our regular guest in studio in Cape Town, is on a well-deserved day's leave, but we are very lucky and we'll be crossing shortly to Kaniso Tshwaku on the ground in Toulon, where he is building up to this week's Sunday, where the Springboks will play their second game of the tournament against Romania. Wholesale changes expected when that team is announced at 7 o'clock this evening. Kaniso, good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning, Lloyd. I'm well. How are you doing?
I'm well too, thank you. I hope you are. You got a good lie-in this morning with the team announcement only at 7 o'clock this evening. You've been burning some midnight oil pretty much since you landed in France. So I hope you got a good rest today.
No, indeed. I think we are looking for the one team announcement that will have several changes that will probably have. The Scotland Ireland game in mind now, because the Boks have got past the nearly against Scotland. So now with Romania, this is probably the easiest full game. Yes, the messaging has been about the game being the same like any other test match, but for all intents and purposes, this one is probably the most serious game. And I think the changes that will be made will speak to how players need to be rested, some need to get some mileage under the leg for the Ireland game.
As you say, some big changes expected for the weekend and some really good reporting again this morning. Trucks, you know, in a couple of stories, really enjoyed the Dion Ferry piece. Dynamic Dion Ferry breaks hooker drought to answer Bok call for Romania clash. You guys had Dion Ferry in the press conferences yesterday, and he was looking ahead. Obviously, the team only announced today, but looking ahead at the possibility of playing hooker, which is obviously a position that he is used to, having, you know, spent a fair chunk of his professional career playing there. But, you know, what got him into the Springbok squad in the first place was his form in the loose forwards with the Stormers. But some really nice quotes coming out of Dion Ferry yesterday. "It's a proud moment for me and my family," he says, "and for the country as well, to represent them in the World Cup. I thought I would come over to France to watch a few games as a spectator, and I went back to South Africa, and now I'm playing in it. It didn't really sink in until on Monday when we got those medals at the welcoming ceremony, and it was then that I felt we were into the swing of things." What was that like, Chuck? Some really nice quotes coming out of Dion Ferry, and Sunday shaping up to be a big day for him.
No, it is. I mean, we actually had an informal chat with him at that welcoming function, where I think I remember actually sent a picture of him actually having that medal in his hand. He was absolutely grinning from ear to ear. And I think they didn't express how truly emotional it was, because I think the emotion of being at a World Cup is one thing. The emotion of actually knowing that now is the opportunity to play in a World Cup are two different things. So I think what was really striking from Dion is that at his age, at the age of 36, a lot of players are winding down their careers. But you look at him, when you look at how he stayed in his career. I mean, he started playing for the Western Province in 2006. I mean, there are several kids who will be watching World Cup rugby now who weren't born when Dion Ferry actually started playing rugby. The same would be applicable to a Grant Vermeulen. And only right at the end of his career, he's achieving a goal. Let's say, can he achieve that goal of playing for the Springboks? He's had to wait probably till the end of his career for that goal to come. So again, there's a lot of life lessons, you know, that things come at different stages and at different stages for people. For some, success comes early and it's the same. But some need to stay in the course to get their belated success towards the end, in the middle, towards the end of their career. So I think the key part is that this is something that is not taken for granted. And it's going to be interesting to see how he plays as hooker on Sunday.
Another one of the stories, Trucks, that you were out with this morning, centered around Grant Williams, who obviously came off the bench for a few minutes, a handful of minutes against Scotland on this past Sunday at scrum half and made that one, you know, beautiful little break. And if it wasn't for a little ankle tap, would have, you know, looked certain to run in for a try. And you're hearing on the ground, while nothing is confirmed yet, that there is the consideration to perhaps play Grant Williams at wing. It would make sense from a selection point of view in that it would allow the box to leave, you know, both Kirtley, Arendse and Cheslin Kolbe wrapped in cotton wool. You would presume that Makazole Mapimpi would also come into that starting lineup. But Grant Williams playing on the wing is certainly an exciting prospect.
No, it is. And one needs to remember that the Springbok coaching management, when they picked for scrum off, they picked them with the intention of so you now need to look at how a prospect could be employed for the Ireland game in particular, because he is the 9/10. And when you look at Forbes Reina is actually one of the fastest guys in the team, and he actually played wing. I mean, the all-black game, but I think our colleagues in the club, and he's actually made the point of saying that he had to stop himself so many times from going to Iraq, but in the New Zealand game. But I think they picked the fourth program off with the intention of being able to rotate him around positions. When you look at those nines, I think the only person who can pretty much play in one position, if not two, is also Jaden. Jaden also, given himself, played in his junior career, also played at Flower. So you realize that the scrum off that the box have picked, all nine of them are multi-dimensional. The key part now is just picking and choosing which games to use them. And I think when you look at them, for example, he'll most probably play in this game, and if there are no injuries, he'll probably play again against Tonga, probably, and he probably is the most physically equipped of the back three to play against Tonga. But the key now for this game is to make sure that those who didn't play and those who got short time get a run for this Romania game. So to make sure that by the time they finish the two stages, everyone has mileage. We're not having to worry about a player who may be underdone, because I think in some World Cups that could have been a slight concern. I think 2011 World Cup was a slight concern where they carried so many niggles. By the time the quarterfinals came around, players weren't at different stages of fitness. And I think it's something that Sharpie now has actually referred to at plenty of press conferences, where he's iterated the need to have players at all times, and making sure that he's speaking from a first quality number to making sure that players, by the time they complete the key stages, players are more or less at the same level of minutes, so that they don't have to worry about a particular player A or particular player B being undercooked.
There's a comment on your Dion Ferry story from one of our users called Reciprocate. To think about 2 years back when Dion Ferry, at the age of 34, rejoined the Stormers and scored a try for them, and sat for a few seconds to catch his breath. Look at where he is now, wearing the Bok badge. Amazing. Ferry's a jolly good fellow, says Martha. Yeah, some really nice stuff coming in, reacting to Dion Ferry and Grant Williams as well. Trucks, you also are expecting Damian Willemse to be named at fly half for this game, which would obviously increase the depth stocks in that position for the Springboks moving forward, with Andre Pollard ruled out injured. Trucks, let's talk about the heat. I mean, I saw a photograph of you watching that Argentina-England game, and it was a 9 p.m. kickoff on the Saturday, and there you were in your shorts and T-shirt. I mean, it does look like it's just very warm there every day.
It is indeed. I mean, last night was probably the first time we actually experienced like a minimal rainfall. It has been faltering from the Sunday we arrived the entire week between the Angel One. The one thing that I made a note of was actually check the weather forecast in Bordeaux, and apparently rain forecast for Sunday, which I have to say is a proper relief, considering that while the weather has been good, there's also been very dry. There hasn't been a lot of, there's been no rain actually here in Toulon and in Marseille. But the weather has been quite oppressive. If you look at all the games, there's been water breaks. I mean, the South African game was a 5:45 start, and 18 minutes in, there was a water break. There was another water break in the second half. It's been an emergency because it's high summer. There's been a consistent heat wave throughout France, to be fair. I mean, I did explain that when they arrived in Paris last week, it was 34 degrees. I mean, that's pretty much the case here in Toulon and in Marseille. So one would have thought that maybe you know, could have the World Cup been pushed back to midday, early October to mitigate a bit of the heat? But then again, you also have to worry about player walks and clubs needing the players back. But look, the weather has been, as a tourist, it's fine. And I think the players have enjoyed the weather outside of the training system. But what I found interesting with what they did yesterday was that they're actually preparing for Sunday's game. They had buckets either side of the training drill where Buck with the ball was dipped in soapy water and actually did a catch and pass. So the players were told specifically that you catch and you hold. You don't catch and move the ball, catch and hold. And it actually tested the players' handling, and they did that drill very, very, very well. Of those passing drills, I think only once was the ball dropped, and there was only two bad passes. So clearly the players have been honing the skill of handling the ball in the West, because women now, they're moving to the West Coast of France, and I can say that there'll be a bit more humidity there than it is there, because I think what has been a bit critical here is that while it's been hot and people are sweating, it's also been dry. And what Felix Jones actually mentioned in yesterday's press conference was that what actually affects the stickiness of the ball more than anything else is not the weather, but the jerseys of the players, because when they catch the ball, they catch and they hold, and then the sweat from the jersey then grips onto the ball, and that's what affects the handling of the ball more than the climatic conditions themselves.
So you have a situation where these guys are training and there's literally buckets of soap water around them, and they're dipping the rugby balls in the buckets to make them slippery, you know, to improve their handling. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Look, it's nothing new. I remember Zealand did the same thing in Japan last. I think America would have also done the same. So it's nothing new. But the key thing now is that you'd rather prepare yourself for those conditions. Because if there's one thing that the box was slightly guilty of on Sunday was unnecessary handling error. And when Felix explained it yesterday in that it has little to do with the heat, but with the ball getting wet through the regular handling from the players. So effectively now what they tried to do yesterday was to actually, from get-go, play with that ball while it was and actually get there and train the muscle memory to deal with a wet ball from the get-go, instead of actually allowing the mind to play to move from dry ball mode first into wet ball mode first, into wet ball mode later.
Yeah, and I suppose, you know, if there's some rain around on Sunday, then all the more reason to focus on the handling. South Africa, I suppose, will want to be as clinical as possible. Trucks, you know, not much chance you would think of slipping up here. But, you know, you want a clinical performance. You know, you want to secure that bonus point and you want to look after the points difference as much as possible. How do you think they're going to balance that need for a resounding victory, you know, with the kind of, you know, experimentation and giving some of the fringe players a run?
Look, I think the key part for the Foxes really is actually straightforward. They don't need to move away from what's working. If the forwards get into the job early, they punch holes in the Romanian defense, the ties will come. Felix Jones did identify this game yesterday as a game where points difference become very important, because when you look at the group in Scotland, are only actually playing in 2 weeks' time, well, in about a week and a half time now. Now that they're actually well into their break. So South Africa and Ireland are playing this weekend. Ireland are playing Tonga and South Africa and from Romania. So those two teams have actually a lot of work to actually put in terms of making sure that by the time Scotland are back in action, they will have played to each and one. When they play on the 30th and they play Romania, South Africa and Ireland will have played each other. When Scotland played Tonga, South Africa and Ireland would have played two games each, and they would have probably then on the 23rd, we would be playing that game that will probably pretty much decide who goes first and who goes second. And then Scotland will then have that banana peel of a game against Tonga on the 24th. Then they've got Romania on the 30th, which will probably be the easiest game. And then South Africa finishes their pool stage against Tonga on the 1st of October. Then they need to wait until the 8th to find out their quarterfinal opponent, should they beat Ireland. And also this game, Ireland-Scotland game, will have a very big influence in terms of who plays who in the quarterfinals. Remember that the box, yes, they will stay in Toulon, And then after that, we'll most probably will have to then go to Paris for their quarterfinals and shuttling between Toulon and Paris for their quarterfinals and finals if they get that far. So they just need to win these games, the Sunday's game, get a big point difference. And I think once that's done, I think that'll worry about itself because everything else, the Scotland will have to be chasing the tail.
Couple of comments coming through here on your Grant Williams story this morning. Grant Williams is a superstar in the making, says one of our users. That off-the-line pace is incredible. KB says, Grant Williams moved to the wing, a good one, incredible pace. A lot of excitement around potentially seeing Grant Williams on one of the flanks on Sunday. Twax, I think I'll leave it there. We're going to let you go. Looking forward to the team announcement later this evening, and looking forward to everything that comes from you for tomorrow morning's reporting. Keep up the good work. The readers are loving it. We are loving it. I'll let you get back to it. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Cool. We'll finish. We had a poll up on News24 yesterday, and I thought it would make for some quite interesting reading. We asked our readers, what do you make of the Springbok away jersey that they wore against Scotland on Sunday? 10% of you said, I love it, it's refreshing. 53% of you, and the majority, it's awful, the Bucks should never wear it again. And 37%, get over it, as long as the Springboks win, I couldn't care what they wear. This has been another episode of The Inside Pass. We'll be back tomorrow dissecting the Springbok team, which will be announced at 7 o'clock tonight. All the best and cheers. We'll be right back.